Welcome. I hope you all had a good summer. I hope you, those of you who went to Poland, enjoyed that, or learned from that, inspired by that. There should be sheets right there. Our topic today, by request, was women's Torah learning. Is there an obligation? What kind of obligation? So, first, let me start with a story or two. About a year ago, in yeshiva, there were two babies born. One was a boy and one was a girl. And their fathers got aliyahs that Shabbos in shul, in yeshiva. And when the first father, who was the father of the boy, got up there, so they sang for him, Zara Chaya V'Kayama, which is a song whose words mean that we're hoping that he has children who never leave Torah, constantly involved in Torah. Okay? And then, an aliyah or two later, the father of the girl got up, and probably the real reason was because we had already sung Zara V'Kayama and Varieties, the Spice of Life, so we sang, Nai, 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 yeah. So Rav Azak, who sits next to me, said, why did we do that? So I wanted to elicit a response from him. So I said to him, as a joke, you know, the first one was a boy and the second one was a girl. And only the first one are we davening that he shouldn't be giving up on, you know, he should be constantly involved in Torah. So Rav Azak knew I was joking, but he said, like, even the premise is wrong. Why? And he ran and he got a Sefer, source one. The Sefer is called Va'aretz Nachal Mifnei Adam. Whose Sefer is that? Rav Amital Zatzal. He was our Rosh Yeshiva, founding Rosh Yeshiva. And one time, in the Akdama of the story, and Rav Azak knows this book really well, having written it, but he wrote it based on his notes in a series of shiurim Rav Amital gave. Somebody came up with a list of, I don't know, Yisodot, Emuna, that we believe, and he gave the list to Rav Amital, and Rav Amital said, come back and I'll give you a new list tomorrow. And he gave him a list of like 20 things that we believe. And they said, wow, can you give us a share on this list? And he says, how about I give you 20? And that those shiurim turned into Va'aretz Natan Livnei Adam, and it covers a lot of different Yisodot, Emuna, and Hashkafot of our yeshiva, of our tzibor, of hopefully from Jewry. And in it, and like a sort of, it's not the focus of the paragraph. The paragraph has other topics about Limud Torah and the role Limud Torah has in our lives and making us well-rounded Jews. And in that paragraph, in that chapter, I mean, there's this paragraph. Page 45, source 1 here. Yisod zeh shel limud Torah kemarkiv ba'avodat Hashem. Limud Torah, in this chapter, is emphasized as an aspect or a part of our avodat Hashem. And we find this in the Sifri. Bidvarim utzatim sefer ha-mitzvah the Rambam, and the Rambam sefer ha-mitzvah cites this. Ula avdo, and the pasuk tells us we have to serve Hashem. Le'avdo l'chol v'avcha. So what's le'avdo? Ze Talmud. Davar acher ula avdo zot tfila, or it's tfila. Mikan sheledat Rambam Talmud Torah hu lo rak kiyum shel mitzvot v'limadetem otam epneichem ela gam shel mitzvot avodat Hashem. The orzen nere shegam nashim apturot mi mitzvot Talmud Torah chayavot bezmanenu b'limud Torah mitzad mitzvot avodat Hashem shekein kamor markiv merkazi b'kiyum avodat Hashem yuchad bezmanenu hu ayidei Talmud Torah. What did he just say? Since Talmud Torah is part of avodat Hashem, are women mechuyav in avodat Hashem? Yes, just the same as men. Everyone is mechuyav to be an Oved Hashem. Since one of our means and methods of serving Hashem and developing ourselves as Ovdei Hashem is through learning Torah, so even if you want to tell me that when it comes to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah per se, the women are exempt, they are still obligated to Limud Torah in terms of helping form themselves to be Ovdei Hashem. That is what Rav Amital said. And it's pretty interesting that in 1996, and I'm going to keep referencing this and I'll summarize it in the end of the shir as well, but Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal gave a sicha at the opening of a girls' high school in New Jersey called Mayanot. And maybe later I'll even send out the shir to you on the WhatsApp group. But Rav Lichtenstein cited a sifri with a different sifri than the one Rav Amital quoted, but with a similar idea. Vayu advarim, source 2. Vayu advarim ha'ile asher anochi mitzavecha hayom alavavecha. Rabbi Omer lama ne'amar, lefishnemar, ve'abtad Hashem lekecha b'chol vavcha. En yodea ketzer ovim erol makom. The pasuk tells us, love Hashem. How am I supposed to do that? So the pasuk continues. Vayu hadvarim ha'ele asher anochi mitzavecha hayom alavavecha. Tein hadvarim ha'ele alibcha. Take the words of the Torah and put them on your heart. Shemitoch kach atama kira misha mar vaya olam midabek bedrachav. Once again, learning Torah is a means of putting Hashem and His words close to your heart. That is how Rav Lichtenstein uses, and we'll go back to the Sicha Rav Lichtenstein when I get through the shir, but he uses this idea of the Torah being a means to avas Hashem, being a means to lidabek Hashem, being a means to avodas Hashem, as central to the obligation on women in Torah learning. Now, I'm sure it's not going to come as a shock to you that traditionally and still today in some communities, these views are not shared across the board, correct? I didn't shock anyone? Okay. So what we're going to try to do now is understand the whole background of the sugya, and we can see how we got to where we got to today with Rav Lichtenstein and Rav Amital Zatzal. Let us begin with source 3. The Gemara Kiddushin tells us that women are not obligated in Talmud Torah. The Gemara discusses the Lamdo Torah that a father is obligated to teach his child Torah. Tichtiv, minalan tichtiv, limatem lo tamet b'nechem, teach your sons. V'hecha delog m'reyavua m'chayev ilu migmar nafshe, and what if your father didn't teach you? You're still m'chuyev to learn on your own. Tichtiv l'maratem, learn. Ihi minalan delo m'chayeva, how do we know that a woman isn't m'chuyevet? Tichtiv v'limaratem, v'limaratem. Ulamatim, meaning there's both words in the pasuk. Kol shematzuva lilmod, matzuva lilamed. Anybody who is themselves obligated to learn is obligated to teach it to their children. Kol she'ena matzuva lilmod, ena matzuva lilamed. If you are not obligated to learn, you are not obligated to teach it. Ve'ihi minalan delo mechayv lemelef nafsha. So how do we know that a woman doesn't have to learn Torah? It's not mechuyavet in it. Tichtiv b'limaratem ulamatim. Kol she'acheri matzuva lilamdo, only those who others are obligated to teach them, they are obligated to learn on their own. Okay, I can play this game one more time. How do I know that others aren't obligated to teach them? I'm not really calling it a game, but I'm saying each time it says something, and then the Gemara has to ask, where is that from? So, okay, one last time. Where is that from? Damar krav, v'limadatem otam epeneichem. Teach your sons. The Gemara darishes, v'lo binotechem, not your daughters. So, indeed, when it comes to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, who is obligated? Men are obligated. Who is exempt? Women. Okay, so just because they're exempt, wouldn't we still want to encourage that? Wouldn't that be something we would still want them to do? There's a wonderful kiyum mitzvah when they do it. Right? It doesn't seem to be any negative. We have a lot of mitzvot in the Torah. We have a few that are what's called mitzvah seisha zman grama. It's actually not such a big category. There's like 6 that women are exempt from. There are a bunch of mitzvot you would seem to be in that category. In mitzvah seisha zman grama, but women are obligated in it. For example, even though Shabbos is a great example of something that is time-bound. Why? Because it happens based on it being the seventh day of the week. Yet, are women obligated to make Kiddush, which would be a mitzvah asay? And the answer is yes, they are obligated to make Kiddush. Because the Gemara says, Kol sheyeshno b'shchira, yeshno b'shmira, yeshno b'shchira. What does that mean? Anybody obligated in the negative commandments of Shabbos, as in not doing malacha? Are women allowed to do malacha on Shabbos? No, so they're obligated in that. They are also obligated in the positive ones of making Kiddush, etc. So we have, like, Lela Seder, Av Hein Ayubo Toanis. They were part of the miracle. We have all sorts of, or presuminis, we have all sorts of times where you might think a mitzvah is mitzvah to say Shazman, Rama, and women would be exempt, but yet because of all sorts of Gzerat HaKatos, Limudim, Hekeshes, Gzerat Shavas, Kava Chomers, etc., they're obligated. There are a few times where they're exempt. And even when they're exempt, we're still happy for them to do it. We still like when a woman hears shofar. We still like when they sit in the sukkah. Right? It's one thing if there's only room for one person and there's a choice, man, woman, okay, you might have to make a choice. But all other things being equal, we like when they do it. And in fact, according to Ashkenazi Psak, they even get to make a bracha on it. So, why would Torah, learning Torah, be any different? So for that, we have to move on to another source. But before, just see how the Rambam in source 4 paskins this Gemara la'alacha. In fact, this is how he opens Hilchot Tamei Torah. Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph. This is how he starts. These are the laws of Tamei Torah. Nashim va'avadim uktanim p'turim mitamei Torah. They are exempt. Women, children, slaves. Aval katan, aviv chayav lamdo. But a katan, a father has to teach his son lamdo Torah. Shneimar v'demadatem lotam v'neicham daber bam. Ve'ein ha'isha chayav lamed b'na shekol chayav lamod chayav lamed. Only if you're mechuyav to learn or you're mechuyav to teach your child. So the Rambam paskins al halacha, but still, that doesn't yet show us anything negative. So in order to come to a possible negative side, now we go to source 5 and 6, the Gemara in Sota. What is a Sota? Anyone familiar with what a Sota is? Okay, a woman suspected of adultery. So there was a whole process that is described in Parshat Naso that we can make her drink this magical potion that has Shem Hashem in it. And if she's innocent, something good will happen. If she's guilty, something bad will happen. Yeah, sorry.
Just going back to
source.
I was reading the wrong source. Sorry.
Okay, we're good? Okay. So that's what the Sota is. So the Gemara, the Mishnah says that sometimes, even though a person may have been guilty, still the waters didn't make her explode on the spot, meaning it still didn't work. So the Mishnah says, "Im yesh l'schut hayata tolala." It would push off the disastrous effects. They wouldn't happen instantaneously. So that's the Mishnah, and Ben Azai comments, Mikan, from this idea we see, Amar Ben Azai, Chayav Adam l'lameid epito Torah, Shim tishte teida she'azchut tolala. So Ben Azai says, from here we see that you have to teach your daughter Torah. Why? So that way, if one day she becomes a suspected adulteress and has to drink the Sota waters, so this way she won't get embarrassed on the spot by right away having the disastrous effects of exploding, and won't be embarrassing for her and her father and her family, but it'll take some time, it'll be told, it'll push it off, or she'll be able to withstand its effects. And Rabbi Elazar disagrees with Ben Azai. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Kol ha'omid hamelame bito Torah ki ilu lomda tiflut. If you teach your daughter Torah, it is like you are teaching her immorality. So, though I once heard an explanation from Rav Stern, who's now the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, where he said, that Rabbi Elazar is saying, if you teach your daughter Torah for this purpose, as in if the reason we're teaching her Torah is so that she can then be an adulterer and not have the effects of the drink hurt her, so then that would be that you're teaching her immorality. It's a very lovely explanation, but it is not the standard way of reading this Gemara. Let us look at source 6. The Gemara comments on these lines of the Mishnah.
What did you say was the standard way to read it?
I'm about to say, but the standard way to read it is that he is saying that if you teach your daughter Torah, you are teaching her immorality, or it is, or ki'ilu, whether the word ki'ilu is there, it is as though you're teaching her immorality. That's the standard way of reading it, because that's what it says. Meaning his way is a nice drush. Source 6, the Gemara Sota, Daf Chaf Aleph, Amid Aleph. Okay, so the Mishnah was on Chaf, and this is Chaf Aleph. V'yesh Zchut Tola Gimel Shlanim, if she has Zchuyot in her favor, because, you know, she might have learned Torah, we said, so it'll push it off, let's say, another 3 years. Zchut Damai, what kind of Zchut can she have that will help her avoid the effects of the Sota waters? Ilem Zchut the Torah, Ha Ena Mitzvah V'Osehi. If you want to say it's because she learned Torah, she is Eina Mitzvah V'Ose, meaning she is learning Torah, but she is not commanded to learning Torah. We have a rule that a person who is commanded in a mitzvah, Gadol Mitzvah V'Ose, Misha Eina Mitzvah V'Ose. Why? The Yetzer Hara really works on you. If you have to do something, it's much harder for you to do it than when you volunteer to do it. We all know this from our human nature, right? It's very easy for me to decide to do something nice for my parents, decide to do something nice for my spouse, my chavruta, my roommate, my friend. But when I'm asked to do it, when I'm asked for a favor, when I'm told to do it, all of a sudden, I have all the excuses in the world. It becomes so difficult for me. And that is part of human nature. So Torah tells us that when you're commanded to do a mitzvah and you do it, your zchut is greater than one who is not commanded to do it, who does it anyway. So how much tzchut can this woman have that it's going to push off the effects of the sota water? She learned Torah, those are the effects. Ha'ena mitzvah v'osahi. She's not commanded. Ela tzchut mitzvah. She did a mitzvah. You know, and Gemara has a whole explanation. So now let's continue after the ellipsis. Ravina Amar, no. It's indeed talking about tzchut the Torah. The Olam Zchut Torah, with the Kamar, Teino Mitzuva, those, why? How can she get so much Zchut out of it? She's not even commanded. Nai de Bekuda lo Mifkada, be Igra de Mikrin, Mitnim, Benayu, Benachon, the Hulak of Rayo, Ata Atami, Bein Midrasha, Mi lo Palgan Ba'adayim. So, yes, they are not commanded to learn, but they get a lot of schar for our learning. Because they teach their children, and then they wait up for their husbands who come home late from the base medrash. So therefore they share in our schar by taking care of us. And because they take care of us and allow us to learn, they get a portion of our schar, so they indeed have zchut the Torah. So that is the Gemara. But still the big line we have to explain is this source 5, Kol Hamalamed Bito Torah Ki'ilu Lomda Tiflut. Let us look at the Rambam in Source 7. The Rambam in Source 7 discusses this as Hilchot Talmud Torah later in that same chapter from what we read before. Isha Shalamda Torah. Let's say a woman decides to learn Torah. Yesh La Schar. She does have a reward. Aval Eino Kischara Ish Mipnei Shalom Itzdavit. But her schar is not as much of a reward as the reward of a man who learns Torah, because she is not commanded to learn. So yes, you get schar for doing any mitzvah, but your schar is not as much as the person doing it who is commanded. And even though she has no reward, even though she has reward for learning Torah, if she does learn, the Chachamim commanded us not to teach our daughter Torah. See that? Tziva chacham, even though she has heart, tziva chachamim, she loyal mer adam et bito Torah. Why? Mipnei sherov hanashim. Since the majority of women ain datam chuvanot itlamed, elahein motziot divrei Torah l'avai lefi aniyut datan. For a majority of women, they have a certain simplicity or a certain limited development, and they might take divrei Torah and they'll transform it into something that is vacuous and empty. Lefi aniyut datam. Amru chachamim kol hamelamed et bito Torah ki'ilu lamda tiflut. B'med var mamurim b'torah shebaal peh. Aval Torah shebechtav lo yimelid oto l'chachilo v'im lamda eino kim lamda tiflut. Still, he says, what are they talking about? They're talking about Torah shebaal peh. Torah shebechtav, you also shouldn't teach her, but if you do teach her, it is not lamda tiflut. Okay, I'm not going to focus on the difference between Torah shebechtav and Torah shebaal peh here, in terms of why one would be Tiflut and not the other than we'll see people who later will machalik between different types of Torah that you're allowed to teach and not allowed to teach, or recommended to teach, or not recommended to teach. But we see here the Rambam is saying, a majority of women are not fit to be learning Torah. And that is the reason the Chachamim said, even though a woman who learns Torah does get schar, whatever level of schar, still, she, tzivu chachamim, that you should not teach your daughter Torah. Okay? That is what the Rambam said. Now, if you were to be of the view that halacha is static, and we take this word literally, then you would be nothing to possibly change. Meaning, Rambam says, most women can handle learning Torah, therefore don't do it. What could possibly change from that? Can we say that women can't handle learning Torah and the halacha would change? So if you say halacha doesn't change and we take it, so there's nothing to do about it, there's no possible change. You can't tell me 20th, 21st century anything should be different. And that is actually the view, let's say, of the Satmar Kehila. Okay, the Satmar Rebbe was very against teaching their girls in the Satmar community certain types of Torah. They learn, to this day in the Satmar community, they learn Chumash, not Chumash and Rashi. They learn Chumash, text. They learn basic halachot that then they need to know, not more. Okay, that is what we would call in our world an extreme view. But a few weeks ago, I gave a shir here on showering on Yontif. Correct? So one thing I said there was the halacha says that you can't shower on Yontif. Again, there were details, not your whole body at once, etc. You could do aver, but I said that the reason behind the halacha was that it's showering wasn't considered a davar ashavel chol nefesh, something that everybody needs. And I said, without saying that the halacha doesn't apply, the halacha applies, meaning because we're Orthodox, we don't believe halacha doesn't apply. I'm saying halacha applies, but it could be that nowadays showering is davar ashavel chol nefesh. And I said especially when it comes to a 2 or 3 day yontif, you know what we call a 3 day yontif for the third one Shabbos, like we're going to have in 2 weeks with Rosh Hashanah. So if you don't shower on Friday, that means that you're going to be going all that time without a shower. And it could be that it is davar ashavel lechol nefesh bizman hazeh to not go 2 days without a shower or 3 days without a shower. Meaning, when we said that nobody needs to shower every day, it's not a davar ashavel lechol nefesh. So you're going to want a shower, so we say no. But that was back then. Nobody needs a shower every day. Bizman hazeh, a lot of people do shower every day. So therefore, if it's only a one day of Yantif, we'll let you go 24 hours without showering. But to make you go 48 hours without showering, that could be excessive. And no longer is that considered not a davar shavuchol nefesh. So I'm going to say the same thing. Meaning, even though that halacha still applies, it could be our mitziut isn't the mitziut, our reality isn't the reality to which it applies. And that is what some of the sources we're going to continue with here now are going to suggest. Let us start with source 8. The first thing we have to comment on is that the Rambam said, Mipnesha rov anashim, the majority of women. Rambam didn't say, kol anashim, all women. He said the majority of women. What do we see from the fact that he said majority? That there's a minority. The Prisha in source 8, Mipnesha rov anashim, ein daitan ruchavanot, because the Shulchan basically copied that lashon of the Rambam. So the Prisha comments, avalim lamda la'atzman, anu roen shiatzam arov. If the woman decides on her own to learn, because there was the Chachamim said, don't teach your daughter Torah, because most women aren't going to use it right. But a woman who is self-motivated to go learn on her own, anu roen shiatzam arov. We see she has left the majority, and she is part of the minority. And that's why the Rambam says she has schar. When does she have schar? When she learns Torah properly and doesn't use it in order to transform words of Torah into something vacuous and empty. But the father can't teach her Torah because he doesn't know what she's going to do with it. He doesn't know what's in her heart. But still, we see already, first of all, permission for those who are self-motivated to learn. Still, that is not where we are today. How do we get from there to where we are today? So let's take it one step at a time. Source 9. Igron Moshe. Says, he was asked a question by Rav Elia Svei, who was a Rebbe in Philadelphia. I think he was later a Sheshiva in Philadelphia. And he asked Moshe Feinstein that they wanted to start teaching Mishnah in their Beis Yaakov. And Rav Moshe answers him, Hinei Rambam Pasak, She'en l'lamei l'vno Torah achu mechalek she'ki'ilu melamda Tiflut ubitor shabal peh, ubitor shabal peh, enokim lame tiflut, akshad chachila gamzein lalame. The Rambam said, yes, Torah shabichtav is not malamda tiflut, but still you shouldn't lechachila. Al kopanim mishnayot shubitor shabal peh, tzivu chacham shalu yilmadu, vuchilu lamdam tiflut. Nonetheless, mishnayos are Torah shabal peh, and he paskins that that's like teaching them immorality. Vilachain tzarech lemonam, he says, so we should not be teaching them Mishnah. Verak, Pirkei Avot. But you can teach them Pirkei Avot. Mishum shehu inyanei musar v'hanhagot tovot. Every person has to know how to act ethically and properly, so of course you can teach them Pirkei Avot. Yesh l'lamdam behezber. You explain it. La'oran la'avat ha-Torah l'midot tovot. Because you want them to love the Torah and have proper midot. Avalo shar masechto. Not the rest of the Mishnayot. And because it's so simple, I will stop here. Okay, so now we already have step one. We want to teach people for Avat Torah, Mido Tovu. Rav Moshe is not going to be our blank check here. He is very limited in what he's matir. But already we see the importance of using Torah for Avat Torah and Mido Tovu, which again I said, and as a foreshadow for what I'm going to cite from Rav Lichtenstein's Hetzal. That was central to his Heter. Okay, let's move on to source 10. Source 10, the Shulchan Aruch, where he comments, citing the Rambam that we said, she has schar, but you shouldn't do it. Look at the Ramah, I bolded it. Haga. Umikol makom, chayevet ha'isha l'mod dinim hashayachim liishav. A woman is obligated to learn the halachot that relate to her. As in, she is obligated in Torah. There are parts of Torah that a woman is obligated in. And she's obligated to learn them if they relate to her. So that doesn't just mean relate only to her. We're not only talking that she can learn Elchot Nida, but we're saying relate to her. Does she have to keep kashrus? Yes. So she's allowed to learn Hilchot Kashrus. Is she? Does she have to keep Shabbos? Yes. So she's had. So she's allowed to learn Hilchot Shabbos. Is she allowed to learn Hilchot Brachot? Yes. There's so many areas of halacha that relate to her, and she is mechuyevet to learn those. Still within that, I'm sure you and I can discuss a range. What does it mean to learn the halachot relevant to her? And still, I would tell you, according to the Safar Shita, what does it mean she should learn halachot relevant to her? She should watch her mother and learn how her mother keeps Shabbos and Kashrus, etc. And just follow what she does. That is how they fulfill the Ramah. Okay, obviously that is not our Shita. So what does that mean that they learn them? So one side of that could be that they can learn a shorthand. We can make like a Kitzer Shulchan Aruch. Not the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch, but even like a Kitzer Shulchan Aruch. Meaning a list, a shtickle piece of paper with some guidelines that they can learn. Okay, that, you know, that's slightly less extreme than Safar, but seems to still be pretty extreme. You would agree? Okay. The other extreme is that they can learn it. Take a Gemara, learn the Sugya, learn the Rishonim, get to Poskim, and the Shulchan Aruch, and the Beis Yosef, and the Torah, and the Beis Yosef, and Shulchan Aruch, and Shach, and Nosei Kelim, and they can learn everything. Okay, that would be the more inclusive in their learning approach. Rav Lichtenstein, in that sicha that I'll still will get to, he said that he was asked to speak to a group of educators from a certain high school in Yerushalayim, a respected high school. And he said he had some nieces who attended the school, and he heard his nieces discussing what they learned in that school. And he said they were learning Toshbap. And he said, I had never heard the word Toshbap until I figured out that they were referring to Torah Shebaal Peh. And he said, I know, I've been in yeshivas for many years, and we learn Baba Kama, and we learn Baba Metzia, and we learn Ketzos HaChoshen, and we learn the Beis Yosef, and we learn the Rashba and the Ritva. I don't know what this Toshbap is. It's like this amorphous blob that you invented. He didn't feel that was taking Torah seriously. If you're going to teach them the Torah, you have to teach it to them seriously. To limit it one last bit before I show you the more permissive views, Source 11, the Shut Beit HaLevi, comments on this idea of the Ramah, that she's required to learn the halachos that she needs. And it says, "V'im kvar b'kia hi b'dinim shala, v'yodat he'ech lasot shuv inat tzricha l'mod od." Once she knows anything that she needs to know, she knows how to keep kosher, and she knows how to keep Shabbos, etc., she is no longer required to learn anymore. Okay, that would again limit their learning to only being practical. But even without telling you, okay, without changing, oh, society is different, women are different, our tzibur is different, even without getting into any of that, which we're going to get into, because that's why it's fundamentally different and everything's changed from what we said. But even without that, at this point, I could still tell you that they're mechuyava to learn, and they're mechuyava to learn it seriously. Because how are they going to know how to handle any new reality that arises? How are they going to know whether you can microwave on Shabbos? How are they going to know whether you know, kashrus in a microwave? Just like we said, they need to learn the halacha that apply to them, so they need to learn them really well. Be'iyun. So that they can know how to adapt to all those new situations. That can certainly be a legitimate explanation within just saying that she has to learn her halachot. Okay, obviously we're going to try and say much more than that based on the Masorah we have, and I'm trying to show you how we got there. But even without that part, there's certainly a certain amount that they are able to learn, that they're mechuyava to learn, that it's a positive thing if they learn it. Adkan. Fine. In the 20th century, early 20th century, I think, I can look up the dates, but there was a lady named Sarah Schnerer. Maybe it's early, late 19th century also. Huh? Okay. She was the founder of these series of the chain of schools known as Beis Yaakov. Okay, did you visit her school in Poland?
And the first one when we ate dinner.
You ate dinner there, right? Because now they use it. Now they use it as like a catering hall, right? Okay. But she had this idea: women aren't getting Torah education, and some of them are going off the derech. We have to give them a proper Torah education. She went to the Chafetz Chaim with this idea, and the Chafetz Chaim gave her a skama, wished her mazel and bracha, and she went with it, and, you know, Baruch Hashem, a lot of success, and there's a lot of Beit Yaakov schools around the world, and a lot of women learning lots of Torah. I know recently online, in like the last few weeks, there's this woman posted an article where she looked up the dates where Sarah Schnerer started doing things, and looked up the dates of a letter of the Chafetz Chaim and said that she was doing it without the Chafetz Chaim's permission, and this is revisionist history to say it was with the Chafetz Chaim. Without getting into that, because it could be that he said one thing and then wrote one thing a little bit later and more happened, and maybe she started some things. It clearly took off with the bracha of the Chafetz Chaim. What was the Chafetz Chaim's argument? What was it that he said that allowed them to change what it was that they were teaching women? So he wrote it a few places. He wrote the Maskama, but he also wrote in his commentary on Sota, in source 12, he wrote the following. V'nira dechol zeh dafka bizmanim shelefanenu. That was all in the times before our times. Shekol echad haya dar b'makom avatav, b'kabalat ha'avot haya chazak ma'od. Everybody lived in their same village. They grew up, and then they married, and then they moved right nearby. So they stayed with their fathers, and had a strong mesorah. And they knew exactly what to do from watching their fathers and mothers. It's a kol echad v'achad, l'inheg b'derech shedarchu avatav. So everybody was able to know halacha just that way. Kamamar hakatuv sha'al avicha v'yagedcha. As the pasuk says, ask your father and he'll tell you. Hayinu yecholim lomar shelo tzalmo Torah v'tismoch l'naga al avoteha ha'isharim. We could say, women, don't learn Torah. Just rely on your righteous fathers. Aval ka'it, but now, avonoteinu ha'arabim. Shekabalat ha'avot nitrofeif ma'od ma'od. Our mesorah is not as strong. V'gam matzoi she'enu dar b'makamo avotav klal. And people move away. V'ifrat otan shemargilin atzman l'mod k'tav v'lashon ha'amin. Those who go and learn foreign language, meaning the literacy rates are different. There was a change in society. Women weren't getting any education. For women not getting any education, the Torah education they had might have been enough. But now that women are being trained to read and write, so their literacy rates are up, so they're going to get fuller secular educations. How can we not have the Torah education match up to that? Bevadai mitzvah rabba lelamdom chumash v'gam neviim uktuvim. We have to teach them all the Tanakh. Musarei chazal kigon masachet avot. And they have to learn musar. And they have to learn perkei avot. V'servim minorat ha'or chadome k'day shigitameit etzlam inyan emunatin ha'kedusha. So they will know it's true, everything that we as from Jews believe in. Yavru al kol yisodei adar chas v'shalom. If we don't do that, then we risk so many more of them going off the derech. So the Chafetz Chaim is saying everything has to change. Women were never educated in anything, and Torah was transmitted like all other knowledge. But now there's structure, there's education, so Torah has to be at least as sophisticated as secular knowledge. So now we need Beis Yaakov. The Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, seemed to have been a big proponent of women's Torah education. Now, when I say seems, I believe he was. And I'm going to show you a source that supports that. But just so you know, there are close Talmidim of the Rav who seem to limit that. Oh, the Rav just liked speaking publicly, so when they asked him to speak at Stern, and of course he spoke publicly there, you know, he liked giving shirim. Oh, you know, he was stuck in Maimonides, the Vad, the board of his directors, they wanted this, there wasn't enough teachers, enough money. There are all sorts of apologists and views. I'm going to show you, before we get to source 13, let's go to source 14. There's something called Community Covenant and Commitment. It's a collection of letters Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal wrote, published by the Torah Darah Foundation. And I remember at the time when the book was being put together, Rabbi Reuven Ziegler described how he had received a box of the Rav's writings from a few boxes, but he had a bunch of Rav's writings, and he said he had to go through it. And he said, my job was at first to sort through. Shana Tova, regards to your family, signed the Rav, one pile. On another pile was, it is very, very important that you teach Torah Sheval Peh to women. So when I relayed this story to a certain Rav, who said, I was in the Rav Shir, and I learned from the Rav, and the Rav may have been in favor of it, or been okay with it, I find it hard to believe that he actually said, teach Torah Sheval Peh to women. Okay, so sure enough, when this Sefer came out, let's look. Letter number 9 in the Sefer. He wrote to a school that asked him a question about teaching Torah Sheval Peh to women, to girls. As to your question with regard to a curriculum in a co-educational school, I expressed my opinion to you long ago that it would be a very regrettable oversight on our part if we were to arrange separate Hebrew courses for girls. Not only is the teaching of Torah Sheval Peh to girls permissible, but it is nowadays an absolute imperative. This policy of discriminations between the sexes as to subject matter and method of instruction, which is still advocated by certain groups within our Orthodox community, has contributed greatly to the deterioration and downfall of traditional Judaism. Boys and girls alike should be introduced to the inner halls of Torah Sheval Peh. I hope to prepare in the near future a halachic brief on the problem which will exhaust the various aspects of the same. In the meantime, I heartily endorse a uniform program for the entire student body. So, to me, that seems to be pretty straightforward, black and white, correct? Everyone else reads that the same way I did? So, again, it's still possible the Rav changed his views or gave different answers to different people. All that is possible. I saw, very interestingly, in a hesbed for the Rav, Rav Moshe Tversky, I think it was the one who was killed a few years ago in Har Nof, Hashem Yikom Domo, the Rav's grandson, had a hesbed that he gave for the Rav, where we're now in Source 13, where he says that don't think the Rav was any different than the Chafetz Chaim. And don't think any permission he gave was any different than the Chafetz Chaim gave. He says, the halacha prohibiting Torah study for women is not indiscriminate or all-encompassing. There is complete unanimity that women are obligated to study halacha pertaining to mitzvot that are incumbent upon them. Clearly, men are allowed to provide instruction in these areas. A father's obligation of chinuch relates equally to sons and daughters. The prohibition of teaching Torah Sheval Peh to women relates to optional study. If ever circumstances dictate that the study of Torah Sheval Peh is necessary to provide a firm foundation for faith, Such study becomes obligatory and obviously lies beyond the pale of any prohibition. Undoubtedly, the Rav's prescription was more reaching than the Chafetz Chaim, but the difference in magnitude should not obscure their fundamental agreement. Intuitively, it is clear that the guidelines of the Talmud Masechet Sota were never intended for our epoch. This is not an instance of modernism, but Torah intuition. In other words, everyone agrees across the board. The goal is that we should be raising our children, boys and girls, all of Klal Yisrael, every one of us. Our role is to try to be an Oved Hashem. And therefore, when that was working, so okay, Chazal were saying, don't teach a woman Torah Shema Peh, she didn't need it to be from. But certainly, if women are going out and getting education, secular education, it can't be that they're getting a secular education and not a Torah education. And therefore, the Chafetz Chaim looked around, Sarah Schneider looked around, and they saw that women were going off the derech because they didn't have this education. So you know what he said? These same laws of Chazal still apply. But our situation requires more Torah education for women. And says Rav Twersky, the Rav took that same, those same guidelines and applied it even further. We have to have even more Torah for women. We have to have Torah Sheval Peh. We have to teach them Gemara. Just like we teach the guys, the boys. So he's not changing or straying. He's saying these rules just now apply differently. And with that in mind, we can get into Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal's speech at the Mayanot High School. And he said that his concern was with Torah and Yirat Shemayim and Harbatza Torah Yirat Shemayim, meaning inculcating, promoting, and disseminating Torah. He says the cardinal principle that lies at the heart of yeshiva education is molding the person. Only secondarily with preparing or training for the fulfillment of a certain role. That's not to say that preparing for a role, domestic, professional, communal, wouldn't be important, but the ikar, first and foremost, you need to mold the person as an individual with regard to character, personality, intellectual ability, and in religious terms, as an Oved Hashem. This helps you bring out of the person the potential inherent in them. And we have to stand up and meet Hashem's demands, aspire to connect with Him. The Pasuk in Devarim says, "Vatai Yisrael, ma Hashem shalokecha sholim imchoch." What does Hashem demand of you? To fear Him, to follow in His paths, to love Him, to serve Him with all your heart and all your soul, to observe His mitzvot. In other words, this is what our existence demands of us. We have to keep the mitzvah. And the world of halacha is built on the condition that it is through the interaction of the minutia, sifim, sifkatan, this little halacha, that little halacha, and the broad, all the klalim, the yesodo that we get from learning Torah, they combine to form the totality of the human person. And you're best built with that halacha, and your relationship to the Rabbanu Shel Olam is best maintained through that halacha. And yes, the Pasuk makes it seem, Masha, what's Hashem asking? Just this? For us, that's not minimal. It's taxing, demanding, challenging, comprehensive. All our efforts are on trying to fulfill those goals. Namely, we know the means to fulfill those goals are the halacha. Now, if I were to ask you, L'yira, L'ava, L'avod, L'shamer, L'davka, L'lecha, B'chol D'rachav, is that for men or for women? Both. Right? It's not, what's the point of the mitzvah? The point of the mitzvah is to fear Hashem. Are women required to fear Hashem? Yes. The point of the mitzvah is to love Hashem. Are they required to love Hashem? Yes. So each of them, to cling to Hashem. Are they required to cling to Hashem? Yes. So the means to be employed to... Traditionally, we could tell you that the means employed for men in Avodas Hashem was different than for women, but still their goals were the same. And in our present historical and social setting, we need to view the teaching and learning of girls and women as a primary need. He discusses that when the Beis Yaakov began, the criticism was leveled against that as well. It wasn't traditional. It was a departure from what was done previously. It involved too much study. And the Chafetz Chaim was asked about it, and he said, the Rambam says, and this is very interesting, the Rambam says when a person comes to be Midgayer, the Gemara says that you teach the details of certain mitzvot, and you teach certain theological principles, the Kari Hadat. So the Chafetz Chaim said, is it possible a girl who wants to be Megayer should be taught Ikari Adat, but a girl born to a Jewish home shouldn't be? That was unfathomable. So without discussing, remember, most of the Makorah we did in the Shir were about whether there's an inherent Chiyuv in women learning Torah. Okay, maybe when it comes to Talmud Torah as a mitzvah per se, women are exempt, and maybe certain times Chazal said they shouldn't. But regards to those Torah areas that impinge upon our practice and observance, they need to learn and are obligated to learn. And that doesn't just mean need on Taras Mishpacha and Kashas and Shabbat, but we have to make sure that the depth of intensity, knowledge, and sensitivity needed to assure commitment, even if we don't care in knowledge per se, but they're needed to make her an Ovedet Hashem. And here's a great quote. He says that applies to areas of Torah that are far, far remote from the level of practical implementation. It is entirely conceivable that in order to assure that a girl should be genuinely a Ma'amina and an Ovedet Hashem and be Shomer Shabbat, Kedar V'Kedin, you need to be able to address yourself to a question that she may have about the world of Korbanot. I think we can all agree that in our times, Korbanot is not something that we need to know, halacha l'maisa. But he's saying, women even need to learn all areas of Torah, teach it all to them on a high level, so that they can be a girl or a woman, grow up, suffused in Yira, Ava, the Davka, Bo, Bechod, Rachav. He said, that's why it's important for them to continue to learn. So even, I lost where I was. So quite apart from assuring fundamental shmir and a mitzvah in Yer Shemayim, so it's not only about teaching them how to do the mitzvah, but also giving them the conviction, deepening their involvement in Talmud Torah is going to enrich, enhance them as religious personalities and Ovdei Hashem. So Talmud Torah is a process of bonding with Torah to understand its worth, appreciate its centrality. That is something that perhaps at one time was attained by other means. Just watch your mother. Just get a Masorah then. Or just do Chesed. But today requires to a great extent direct confrontation, direct involvement with Torah proper. He cites a story from Rav Huttner once telling him that he thinks that the yeshivot should learn practical Masechtot as well. In other words, not just learn Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, but they should also learn some Masechet Sukkah, Masechet Megillah, etc. And he said to me, you know, if a bachur would know that saying Kriya Shema after Zman Kriya Shema is like taking a lulav on Hanukkah, he would get up earlier. So it's not only about the stress of the basic practice, even if he gets up at the right time and says Kriya Shema B'Zamano, what is the nature of that Kriya Shema? What is the quality of that mitzvah? Meaning, we're not moving, it's not only a quantitative focus, but we want an observance filled with kavana, with commitment, with passion. We take the lulav not only with our hand, but with the heart, with the mind. So we speak of Avad Hashem. Avad Hashem isn't only for us. Torah is a prime vehicle for attaining Ava. Leaving aside the moment, the independent mitzvah of Talmud Torah, again, one of the ultimate goals is achieved through this vehicle of learning Torah. Should we let that rust and sit idle with respect to our daughters and employ it only with our sons? So he says, therefore, that their learning has to be not only comprehensive, but above all, serious. Because we need it to be about commitment, intensity, seriousness. And it's both out of respect for Torah and out of respect for women. For Torah, the Torah shouldn't be adulterated by false ideologies or deviant theories. We want its integrity, equality, and essential character to remain. And it shouldn't be superficial that it's only educating a girl. That's where he tells the story about Toshbap. But also respect for their abilities and commitment. And you can mobilize this force for themselves and the good of the community. If our talent pool of teachers and community leaders is only men, you cut out 50% of the potential people who can help out our community. So it means not just digest, but primary tests. And we have to challenge their mind and through that commit their heart. It enhances their Yirat Shamayim. And you develop the person and you build the community. So Rav Lichtenstein was saying, and if whatever you know about Rav Lichtenstein, I don't know how many of you got to meet him or not, but what you've learned about him in your year in yeshiva so far should tell you that Torah learning was so central and fundamental to the life of Lichtenstein that he couldn't imagine being an Oved Hashem properly without learning Torah. And therefore, he says, we have to teach these women Torah. We have to teach them Torah on the highest level because we want them to be Oved Hashem, because they are commanded to be Oved Hashem no less than any male. So yes, we did indeed see that women are exempt from Talmud Torah as a mitzvah per se. And there were Ma'amrei Chazal that are paskin la'alacha about the dangers, downsides, negative that about teaching women Torah. But at the same time, first of all, we were losing women going off the derech. They weren't being educated in Torah, and they couldn't remain from. But second of all, Rav Lichtenstein, we saw, and Rav Amital, Talmud Torah isn't just the mitzvah of Talmud Torah per se, but it is also an important means to grow as a well-rounded Jew, to grow as an Oved Hashem, as an Oev Hashem, and Yari Shemayim. How are you going to do that in this day and age without learning Torah, without learning a lot of Torah on a very high level? I'll end with one last point that I saw in the name of Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, that when we say that teaching women Torah is ke'ilu lamda tiflut, it's akin to immorality. You know what's worse than something akin to immorality? Actual immorality. Sometimes you might have a person, right, what are they going to do instead of learning Torah? What are they going to fill their time with? This goes for men and women. What are you going to fill your time with if you don't go to the shir? But if you tell a woman that learning Torah isn't so good for you, it's akin to immorality, is she going to sit at home and say Tehillim? Or is she going to watch a TV show with immorality in it, with inappropriate Mussar messages in it? Meaning, we have a responsibility to raise and form from children, boys, girls. It's a responsibility on all of us. Our frustration in life, as you know, in a yeshiva, is a lack of passion for Talmud Torah. That's for men too, as well as for women. But in order to be a Yari Shemayim, in order to be the full-fledged Oved Hashem that we are expected to be, we need Talmud Torah. And the Mesorah we have from our Rosh Yeshiva is that as much as we need that to be Oved Hashem, and Oved Hashem, and Yari Shemayim, women need it too. So I know I was asked the question to give a shir on women's Torah learning. I hope that you now have a full view of the sugya, but also a full view of the practical halachic ramifications. Now, you could still tell me there could be differences. You know, you could disagree with the Rav there on whether it's necessary for the school to make it mandatory for women to learn Gemara or optional, etc. So that could be like a public policy discussion, you know, an educational administrative decision. Okay, those types of disagreements are still legitimate. But to say that for women in our day and age, where women are get PhDs and are equally educated and equally capable of learning Torah, to say that for them it is akin to immorality is a misapplication of the words of Chazal to our modern times.